Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, when you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code DNVR, you're going to get $200 in free bets instantly when you make a $5 bet this Sunday. That's with code DNVR and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. I am Patrick Lyons.
I am Susie Hunter. Patrick, did you have a nice Labor Day?
I did because luckily I did not have to labor, which was wonderful. And I feel blessed because not all of us were in the same predicament labor-wise.
I did labor and it was a labor of love and it was a lot of frustration because the Rockies just running out of things to say.
Well, that's a great segue. The Rockies did labor on Monday in a 6-4 loss to the Milwaukee Brewers. They fall to 57-79. I had the Brewers series coming out ahead on the Brew Crew side, then winning 2 out of 3. So the Rockies only need to win one. But I'm beginning to get worried about the hunt for 69. I'm just beginning to get a bit worried now.
We're already behind schedule, and I don't really see the opportunity for us to make those up. So, I mean, I'll make my own TikTok about how the Rockies get to 100 losses.
Whoa, that is, well, they only got to get, so that would be 62 wins, of course, to the 100 losses. So that means they're only going to win 5 more games this year.
Is that really far-fetched, Patrick?
Yeah, kind of. I think they'll win 5 of like the final 28, whatever the number is. Yeah, it would have to go really, really badly. Now, they do play some tough teams. I mean, that's been part of the whole conversation. You know, they might only win 2 out of their final 9 games of the season because they're going to be, of course, in California against the Giants and Dodgers. So That's going to be difficult. The Diamondbacks, I had them taking 2 games there. They might be lucky to get 1 win right now from the Diamondbacks. Zach Gallen's got a historic run right now. He'll be pitching this weekend. So that right there could put the Rockies back even further. But will they get 5 wins? Well, actually, they get 6 wins to make sure they don't get 100. It's possible.
It's extremely possible. I'm going to crunch the numbers this week, and we'll see who is more correct.
If you need any consultation on a spreadsheet, you know where to go. And I will be glad to help you out and be your spreadsheet Sherpa. Hashtag spreadsheet Sherpa. No, don't. Please don't make that a thing. Let's make this into a thing that Ryan Feltner has been pitching a lot better, because he almost was able to get through that sixth inning. That's kind of been his hump there. Third time through the order. Wasn't able to get it done on Monday, but only walked one, struck out seven against pretty good Brewers lineup. So I think that was positive in general. Tied a career high with seven Ks. And he snapped a six-start streak of surrendering at least one home run dating back to August 2nd. So you like that he didn't give up a long ball. So I thought that was positive.
Exactly. Yeah. You can definitely see little bits of progress as the season is progressing. And, you know, Buddy was talking about how Ryan's been working on stuff. And, you know, we heard a little bit of that from Ryan too. But I mean, it's got to be hard too to just make these tweaks on a big stage like this.
Yeah. And just in the middle of the season like that, he looks a lot more confident. Like, you know, he wasn't too happy about being taken out of the game yesterday. That's fine. But just overall, he definitely exudes a lot more confidence. I mean, you think back to that start, whenever it was in early August, where we were both there and he's just kind of talking. And Bud basically said this too, like, hey, this isn't AAA anymore. You need to make adjustments. And what works down in the Pacific Coast League will not work in the big leagues. And so he's got to figure that out. And he just had that look on his face like, wow, I'm almost not ready for this. But he's been since then. So that's been, I feel like, a big takeaway. And he has a lot more confidence. Did he sound a lot more confidence yesterday in the post-game scrum?
He absolutely sounded so confident. Like, definitely giving me more of an aura of a major leaguer. But yeah, ever since that bad start he had back in the beginning of August, where he really was just like, I feel like that might have been just a wake-up call for him. Like, oh, this really is different than the minors.
Big league aura. You need that. Don't talk about it enough. The big league aura. And you do that little hand gesture. Again, another reason why you got to make sure you're watching on YouTube on the DNVR sports channel. Justin Lawrence, not so good. He finished up the 6-4. Our buddy Ryan Feltner there. He'll give up two hits and two earned runs. But Jake Bird snapped back two scoreless innings with four strikeouts. So that was a real positive outing for him. Who'd been kind of scrapping a little bit. So that was nice to see a fellow UCLA Bruin on the hill there for the Rockies.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, there's so many of them now. I feel like we're just the grown-up UCLA Bruins over here. Yeah, but it was also nice to see him out on the mountain for a while and doing well. I was happy to see that for sure.
That was cool. And he didn't get to face Garrett Mitchell, which you'd have thought, oh, he's pitching two innings. You know, he did face one more than the minimum. You'd have thought, oh, he'll face Garrett Mitchell. Didn't happen because he started with the top of the lineup. But Garrett Mitchell, another UCLA Bruin who's taken there in 2020. So they may have overlapped maybe when, you know, Bird and Bouchard, those guys were juniors. And then Garrett Mitchell would have been a freshman at that time. So we could have actually had four UCLA Bruins on the field at Coors Field at one point with Bird pitching, Mitchell at bat, Antolia and Bouchard in the outfield. And Alex Colome, one inning pitched. He gave up one hit, but I think there is one statistic that's probably more important than any other, Susie. Like, what was the most important statistic there in the ninth for Alex Colome? I'm just curious.
For Alex Colome, no heart attacks.
That's important. That
no heart
zero
attacks.
Heart attacks were induced.
One inning pitched, one hit. No heart attacks.
Look, sometimes you need that in a relief pitcher. You need that ability. Sometimes you need to induce a double play. You also need to not induce a heart attack to the fan base. So that's important. Charlie Blackman on the offensive side there on Monday. Two hits, two RBI. He hit safely in 30 of his last 32 home games since June 5th. 28 RBI over that span. And you got to see another Crone homer there. That was nice.
Oh, my gosh. It is. We love the Crone Zone. So that was really fun to see too, of course.
Yeah, second in 2 days. Not second in 2 games, because of course in game two of the doubleheader, homerless streak there. But it seemed like a lot happened. You know, again, it's Monday, but it's a holiday, so it has that weekend vibe. Really, really curious on picking your brain about like all the different things. Like, your day started by talking with Michael Tolia and got to catch up with him for the first time in Denver. Not his first time in Denver. And I think he talked a little bit about that, didn't he?
He did, yeah. So Michael Tolia was, of course, in the Futures game. So he actually has played at Coors Field before on a big stage like that. So he was talking about how he's like, okay, I am actually a little familiar with it. So this isn't like totally overwhelming coming into my first game at Coors. But he was very excited to start playing at Coors Field. He even mentioned that it was almost more important than his debut on the road, was his Coors Field debut. But yeah, he's going to be a lot of fun. Watching him and Thomas Harding banter back and forth too was absolutely hysterical. Like, yeah, this is going to be a good fit.
I have to imagine they've probably locked horns. That's not the phrase I want to use because neither of those guys, both those guys are very nice, but they kind of, you know, you lock horns in conversation. But yeah, I heard the audio that you had shared. And of course, you know, Thomas is being Thomas.
Yeah. Thomas asks Tolia how tall he is. And Tolia's like, oh, I'm 6'5". He's like, oh, are you done growing yet? And he's like, pretty sure I'm done. Thomas is like, you know, I still grew at 26. Tolia was just like, okay.
Like, I don't know how to process this. I'm like, it's like, gonna happen a lot.
But that's, I don't know, okay, what you want me to tell you.
Your lack of processing ability there is not wrong. It's okay. We all struggle that from time to time.
Thomas always says something that throws everyone off in the absolute funniest way.
Yeah, he's the best that way. Yeah, Tolia was even there in 2020 at the alternate site.
Oh, so that's right. Yeah, he did mention that too as well. So yeah, he spent a lot of time at Coors Field, but now doing it as a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, that's been great.
And he was good at first yesterday. He made a crazy catch. His reflexes are just fantastic.
Yeah, no, he has that potential Gold Glove ability. You know, he absolutely does. And so that's been something he's been getting praised for a lot. I think even Bill Schmidt, you know, talked about him kind of having similar defensive abilities as a Todd Helton, who won a handful of Gold Glove awards himself over at first base. So, and you say, well, why is he playing right field if he has Gold Glove first base? Well, there are more first basemen on the team probably than really good defensive corner outfielders. So that's just kind of how it goes. You need some of that defensive flexibility. So Montero's going to need to play a little first. CJ Crone, on occasion, you might need to keep Connor Joe a little bit sharp. Another CJ there playing first base. So Tolia will have to play a little bit of outfield in general. And so, you know, that's going to happen. But the defense is definitely a really big one there for him. And the giveaway did not pair very nicely with the yeah, temperature there. That was one of the most curious things. And I know maybe we'll get to it later. And if you want, mm-hmm, we could even pause that for later on. But that was just kind of funny. If you were there and if you saw, or if you follow us on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies, you know, the giveaway on Monday was strange considering.
Yes. Yeah. We will get into it towards the end of the show, but I will mention, yeah, the giveaway was a winter hat. It was the hottest game of the season, and the Rockies got roasted a little bit for it. So we'll look at some of the tweets later on, but yeah, it was hilarious. The funny part though was that giveaway, winter hat, hottest day, people were still wearing it.
Oh, they were? That's roasting.
Like, you're actually an actual roasting. Yeah, people were still wearing them. And it was hilarious. So I'm happy a couple of people on Twitter were like, oh, I was wondering why people were wearing those hats. I thought it was like a new thing to keep cool, wearing a winter hat on like a 100-degree day. I'm like, no, they're just crazy and they do not have our blessing to be doing this.
So, all right. So what's crazier? Maybe that's what's worse. And this could be a whole debate. Is it crazier to be sitting in the sun, 94 degrees, still summertime, in the sun, wearing a winter beanie, or those people who are going to football games shirtless, you know, they've got a letter painted on their body for their alma mater or whatever. What's crazier? It's got to be the cap, right? We've accepted the fact that, yeah, you can go half naked and paint up and maybe the booze will keep you warm, but the winter cap in summertime, I don't know.
It's just dangerous. You're going to overheat. You're going to get heat stroke. But I mean, yes, you know, if you show up to a game wearing, you know, no shirt, letters painted on your chest, you know what? You're drinking beer, so like you've got a coat from that. Like you're probably feeling fine.
Yes, they're an inner liquid coat.
Yes,
which would be a great segue for something, but that's not where we're at. All right, so what's a worse giveaway? So we already debated that. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, you know, they gave away like a Panama hat last month. Mm-hmm. If you gave that away in April when it was snowing, that would be pretty bad. If you had like a somewhat pessimistic view of the world and you gave away a free umbrella on the 4th of July, that would be kind of a bad look, right? You're like, hey, are you, do you want it to rain here on our quite literal parade here in fireworks? Or instead of a hot $1 hot dog night, dollar hot cocoa night in August. Oh. I mean, these are all ideas that make just as much sense as what went down on Monday at Coors Field.
Pretty much, yeah. Dollar hot cocoa night in August. That sounds brutal. But that sounds like a promotion that should happen when Coco Montez makes it up to the majors.
Whoa.
Things to think about. Things to think about.
Well, if your name is Coco, you should be able to get in for a dollar. Yeah. I mean, you have to be on your license, though. We gotta have him back on to find out. Is Coco on his license? It probably is not.
I would guess no. I would bet money no.
Yeah, it says Bobby Pat, his first and middle name. Robert Patrick, excuse me. I don't know if he's if he's going with Bobby Pat Montez.
Robert Pat.
Then he might as well just go with Coco at that point. I mean, that's what makes sense. And look, if we're talking about what makes sense, the DNVR.com right now makes a hell of a lot of sense, especially since it's only 50 cents for your first month, especially since the Broncos are getting going and DNVR bets is heating up. So you know who to bet each and every Sunday. The Avs and Nuggets, they are getting warmed up. Their season's going to be here in no time. And of course, we're doing our thing with the Rockies. Rapids, I don't know if they're still pushing for a playoff berth. They're still in the hunt, but they've been a little disappointing as of late. You get all that great coverage, access to the members-only Discord, and when our bar opens up on Friday, September 9th, you get that member-sized beer. You get price breaks on all kinds of gear. And if you do want to come out to any of our tailgates with Mile High Sliders, we got Breck Brew flowing. All of that and more fun games and prizes given away there. You get a discount on those tailgates. And again, that's with the DNVR.com. Now only 50 cents for your first month. And if you're talking about other hot tickets, you got to make sure you're going over to Game Time. It's the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, shows. Look, it allows you to sit in seats you never thought you could, like on the 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert. When Yankee Stadium originally opened up, or this most current one, in 2009, there were people who would sit in those luxury seats behind there. They just look like a leather recliner. They would get those seats off of a site like Game Time. In fact, it may have been Game Time at that point. And because they waited right up until the first pitch, and these ticket brokers, they're like, look, I want to get something for my money. I don't want it to go to waste. So boom, you're getting like, you know, $1,000 seats for $50, all you can eat food. It's absolutely fantastic. I've used Game Time before to go to Red Rocks, some really great shows. Again, it's last minute. Sometimes people can't go to their shows, but they don't want to miss out. Well, that's where you slide in and maybe take advantage a little bit with those really good deals. So if you love DNVR, then you're going to love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in our description here on YouTube. Join over 15 million people who've downloaded the Game Time app to score the best seats to all your favorite events. Hit the link in our description to save. And look, if you're talking about saving, or if you're even just talking about getting access to the Nuggets and Avs, well, we got to talk about Ivaca TV. Ivaca is the new GOAT in Colorado sports. That is the greatest of all TV. Ivaca TV delivers amped up sports coverage for Colorado fans, featuring Altitude Sports, AT&T Sports, and the NFL Network. Yes, it's all part of the package at the most regional content for the lowest price for sports in Colorado. All crystal clear HD while using less bandwidth, and enjoy over 60 entertainment channels, including news, movies, and more, parentheses, the DNVR Sports Channel. Turn your home into the ultimate game viewing zone. You can even stream your teams from your phone, laptop, or tablet when you're on the go. You can also add on a discounted Sling TV bundle to get ESPN and more. Ivaca is only $25 a month plus a $5 receiver fee. And right now, Colorado sports fans, you're going to get $10 off per month for your first 3 months. To score this deal, just go to evoca.tv/Colorado10. That's evoca.tv/Colorado10. No contracts, no catches. Ivaca is TV made for champions of the remote.
Like me.
Like you. You're a champ.
I am. Thank you.
I didn't know you were a remote control champ. I knew you were a champion of a lot of things. But a remote?
Yeah, all of it. I'm just like the best at everything I do.
Okay. So we're going to write down remote underneath championships, and then each week we're going to need some new things that you are a champion at. Astrology. I'm not adding it to the list yet because we need one every week. So okay. Right now we just have remote. Right now we got remote for this week. Did you stick around for the Sandlot, by the way?
A little bit of it. Yeah. So it was, yeah. It was so cute. It was adorable. Yeah. People were just on the field. It looked like a great time. And also I think the biggest part was that it had cooled down significantly by the time they were showing Sandlot. So it was actually quite pleasant.
Oh, that's nice. How many times have you seen the Sandlot? Are you a big Sandlot fan?
You know, okay. So I've seen it a lot. I'm on the fence about whether I'm a fan or not, because I'm like, oh, on one hand, you know, the childhood wonder of, you know, learning baseball and just like playing with your friends and hanging out, like that's so fun. But also that movie is so stressful because they are just so, kids are so stupid sometimes and they just destroying all that property just makes me so nervous.
That's the biggest issue is just the property damage and
losing that Babe Ruth ball.
Dennis Leary does not have insurance taken out on that Babe Ruth ball. He definitely does not.
And you know what? If Dennis Leary was my stepdad, like that would be stressful too. So
like, well, he's just chain smoking all the time. I mean, he's got that Boston energy. He's in California. Yeah, that wouldn't be good. I wanted to give you another pop quiz. Uh-huh. But I think maybe we might have to save that or you think about it. Is it going to be another Pop Sues? I was going to give you quotes and you have to tell me, is it from The Sandlot or is it from The Godfather? Now it seems easy, but of course
I've only seen one of these movies. So this could be pretty hard for me.
So, okay, so there are some notable movies I feel like that I haven't seen. I think I've seen most of the classics, but there's just things that are just in the cultural zeitgeist. Like it's just in the atmosphere, like Star mm-hmm. Wars. I feel like you don't need to really see Star Wars to like yeah. really understand everything in general.
It's like I get the cultural references.
Yes.
For so things I feel like, that like, I haven't seen.
Yeah, so I feel like there would be like quotes and stuff. You'd be like, no, that would definitely be more Sandlot than...
Like if it was a quote about cannolis, I'd be like, yeah, that's...
The Sandlot.
That's The Godfather.
Well, cannoli has a big role. That's the big snack in The Sandlot. No, of course. Yes. Yeah, you're right. You know, I'm going to ask you a couple here.
Let's do it.
Give some more Rocky's news and notes. Pop Sues. All right. First one. Is this The Sandlot or The Godfather? First one. You're killing me, Smalls.
That is, I want to be like, oh no, that's The Godfather. No, I know that's The Sandlot.
Vito Corleone is being murdered by a man named Smalls. And so he says that to him while he's being killed. So it's actually The Godfather. No. Yes. All right. So we're one for one. You got that one.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they said that in The Sandlot, but I know it's a Godfather quote.
Yes. You could say, well, wait a minute. Is that the offer to James Earl Jones to get the baseball back? That would be if you saw neither of the films, right? Maybe you could.
Okay. Honestly, I'm just like feeling really inspired right now. I feel like we need to make a local theater mashup of The Sandlot and The Godfather.
When you break these quotes down, they are very similar. All right. How about this one?
Okay.
Let's go. I want to use all your power and all your skills.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess The Godfather.
You would be right.
Okay. Okay.
But Benny the Jet Rodriguez, a lot of power, a lot of skills. That could work. All right. In The Sandfather. I guess that would be the mashup.
The Sandfather. All right. We're making this play. I'm going to rent out a local theater and we're doing this.
Okay. He had kissed a woman and he had kissed her long and good.
That's definitely Sandlot.
That would be Wendy yeah. Peppercorn. Right, you've gotten all of these so far.
Thank you. I'm actually quite surprised. Thank you.
Now I'm going to have to really try to throw you a curveball here. We're going to the mattresses.
Oh,
we're going to the mattresses.
I think that's a Godfather quote.
You would be correct. Very good. Now I was trying to think. I don't know if they actually use mattresses when they're building their contraptions. There's probably a mattress in there somewhere, right? You got to think.
Probably. I feel like yeah. There's got to be one like in their you know dirty outfield. Has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to note in our chat, Kale has already started writing the play that we're going to put on in a local theater.
oh, this is great. I'll just take the EP credit. That's it. Executive producer. That's fine. Just send the checks my way. All right. How about this one?
Okay.
This war stops now. Again, I feel like it could go both ways, right?
This is like weirdly hard. Why is this like this?
Because if you're talking Godfather, again, we know there's kind of wars going on there. So, okay, that makes sense. So there's battles.
But then in the Sandlot, those kids on the fancy bikes ride through.
Yes, they're warring with another group of kids. And they're warring with the Beast.
I'm going to say it's a Sandlot quote.
Finally gotcha. It is the Godfather. Yeah. That was a good one. I'm trying to find ones. You mean that's the same guy? Godfather or the Sandlot?
Sandlot. That whole movie is about kids being confused.
Okay. Very nice. All right. What are you laughing at? Yeah, yeah. You run like a duck.
Sandlot.
Correct. But yeah, yeah, very well could be the name of somebody. Could be the name of a mobster. You could see that. That makes sense. All right, last one.
Okay.
If I wanted you dead, you would be dead already.
I'm going to say that's the Godfather.
Actually, Sandlot. No, yes, of course, it's the Godfather.
I was like, wait, I just do not remember that aggression.
It's like, whoa, what? Who said that? Like, Smalls got really upset. They were picking on him, and they were like, you know.
It's in the deleted scenes.
Yeah, really. It gets really dark. Like, that's what happens by the time that he tells his stepdad, you know, that he lost the ball. He catches a whooping. There's a whole other angle, too. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But you did really well on that, but.
Thank you.
See, like, again, almost out of context, you go, holy smokes. I mean, is the Sandlot just a kid's /baseball version of the God? It could be. I don't know.
The Sandlot is the Godfather for kids.
You heard it here first.
There we go. There we go. And be sure to keep an eye out for our one night only theater show, The Sandfather.
Produced by Kel Sorbo. Let's go.
We're like, so actually, pumped. I'm not even kidding. Like, I will sit down with Kale in his office after this and like start writing a script. He's a theater guy. If anyone's going to run the show on this, it's going to be Kale.
Yeah. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. And it's a baseball signed by the entire 1927 New York Yankees. Okay. I'll take that rather than this gross baseball signed by some lady that this dog has already chewed up and has gotten
some
spit all
lady.
Over.
Such a stressful movie.
Some lady. That's the same guy?
Is the Godfather more stressful than the Sandlot?
Probably. I mean, it has to be. I mean, yeah, Sandlot's very lighthearted. I understand the stress that you're talking about in it. But no, it's got to be the Godfather. It's definitely a lot more gruesome. But Godfather 3 is the best one. I mean, if you ask anyone, the third one is the one. Kale is smiling, so he knows that I'm kidding. One of the worst.
Is there a third one?
Yeah, like they did the first two together, and then it was like, you know, 20 years went by, and they're like, hey, let's do it again with Francis Ford Coppola's daughter as Michael's daughter, Al Pacino's daughter. Yeah, it was not great, but the first two are like, you know, of course, classics. So you got to check that out. I know you checked out at the ballpark Lucas Gilbreth a little bit.
Yeah.
Not, I want to say good news, bad news. Kind of just all bad news, really.
You know what? So, I mean, he's out for the season, but we also don't have that much season left. And if all goes well with his PRP shot, he should be good. So I think it's fine news. But yeah, we got to talk to him very candidly about his upcoming PRP shot. I love talking to Lucas because he is just he's so candid. He'll just like be open about what's going on with his life. So yeah, he's nervous about the PRP shot, but he's been talking to guys and doing his research on what goes into it and what it's like. And you know, it's going to hurt. It's a big needle, but he's ready. He's just not going to look at it. He's like, oh yeah, like I could like pass out if I like see that needle.
Yeah. We've got the big drive energy with the golf bros there, Mitchell and Spence, the BNE, big needle energy. Is not great. Like you get very nervous, get anxious, and that PRP, platelet rich plasma.
plasma.
There you go. That's the word, the phrase of the day. We did mention that he kind of got another trend going in the clubhouse. There, we came back. It must have been the St. Louis series, or maybe it was Texas. There were new shirts that guys were wearing. And I think it said, you know, it ain't over yet. And it was basically, you know, like a score bug that you see in the bottom right-hand corner if you're watching a game. That's what they call it, where it just shows, you know, like COL5, MIL2, gives you the score, tells you who's on base, how many outs. And it shows like ninth inning, bases loaded, two outs. And it's just an inspirational thing. And I think Gilbreth was the guy who got these shirts going. So he's the guy with his finger on the pulse. Yeah.
He is a trendsetter. He's a trendsetter. He's a tastemaker. He made Crocs happen.
He is Mr. Crockies. That's right.
He's Mr. Crockies.
I hope Jonathan Daza becomes a trendsetter, because he should be at Coors. We should see him today. Had a bit of a rehab assignment there with the Isotopes down in Texas. So it sounds like he might be back with that dislocated shoulder situation. He might be back before the year is out. So I'm hoping that provides some inspiration for some of the other banged up Rockies, like an Ezekiel Tovar. No news on him just right now with his groin injury. Also don't know that Tovar needs that motivation. Not sure if the Rockies are really just protecting him at this point, saying, well, we don't want to rush you back to get hurt. Next year, we can kind of start anew. It might not necessarily be, the ball's not necessarily in his court to do what he can do. Jose Iglesias, swollen left hand. He's kind of day to day. He's getting an MRI today on Tuesday. And then Chris Bryant, increased activity. It's increased over the previous activity that was increased, but still not picking up a bat or doing anything. Bootsy Bryant.
You know what? Sometimes he's in the boot. Sometimes he's not in the boot. I have not seen this because we rarely see him walking around, but that's the update from Buddy.
We've only seen in boot. We haven't seen out of boot.
I have not seen him out of the boot, but apparently others have seen him out of the boot, because Buddy said, yeah, he's in it sometimes.
Who are we talking about again?
Chris Bryant,
aka Bootsy Bryant. Bootsy Bryant. All right, that's who we got. That's not a great nickname, and if that catches hold, that was Susie Hunter at the Susie Hunter, who came up with the Bootsy Bryant nickname.
Terrible, terrible content, Patrick. I expect better from you.
Yeah, he's throwing though. He's able to play catch, which doesn't really help you out too much if you don't have two legs to stand on exactly. But we'll see what happens if he comes back again. I think we've both taken the under on a half a game, seeing him here at some point in the season. So
yeah, we're not going to see him for the rest of the season. What's the point?
Yeah. Yeah. That's I can't really argue with you on that.
Negative, but like, why bother?
No, it's not so negative. And you know what, too? You got a 28-man roster, you got extra guys, and you say, well, give somebody an opportunity. In fact, I wrote about that a week or so ago. We'll talk about really briefly some of those names, because you go, Chris Bryant doesn't necessarily need to come back. And you say, you know, there's some fans saying, hey, dude, you got to earn that, your contract, and, you know, you got to fight and come back for your teammates. Does he really, really need to? Who does he need to prove that to necessarily, right? The Rockies may get more benefit of calling up a young guy who's not currently on the 40-man, hasn't yet made his debut, that could create a space for an Ezekiel Tovar. And you go, you'd rather have that. You'd rather that situation play out than, you know, three games from a Chris Bryant. So that could be up for debate. But what is unequivocally not up for debate is Green Mountain Dental Group being the best at what they do in the Denver metro area. Not only do all of our members check them out, as well as folks right here in-house at thednvr.com, but they're hooking you up if you're looking to make a switch. They're only 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver. All you got to do is tell them that we sent you DNVR Sports, and they're going to give you a $300 discount for a full orthodontics treatment for new patients. And they're also going to get you a free set of bleach trays, a $350 value, with a new patient cleaning, exam, and x-rays. I did this not that long ago. It's very simple. It's not a painful thing. My teeth were not sensitive. I'm sure it's different for everybody, but Green Mountain Dental Group, I told them that, and they said, oh, let's set you up with this particular type. And so that's why they're great at what they do. So make sure you check out Green Mountain Dental Group, and make sure you check out athleticgreens.com/ROC. Those are the first three letters of Rockies. That's how you're going to start your day off the right way with one scoop, 75 high-quality vitamins, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, minerals, and adaptogens. That's what I do to start my day right before I do anything. Don't even take a bite to eat. I get that in my system. I get that positive gut health going early. And then if I want to have some fun and eat some bad food, or if I want to really put my body to the test with a lot of exercise, Athletic Greens is going to support me both ways. They want to give you a free 1-year supply of immune supporting vitamin D for joining the fam there, and 5 free travel packets if you go to athleticgreens.com/ROC to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And frankly, sometimes you need insurance, or you need legal insurance and legal consultation. If you've been in a car crash that wasn't your fault, and now you've got injuries, medical bills, lost income, property damage, you're gonna have to deal with this disruption in your life. But guess what? Right now, there's a place for you to go, and that's Travis Legal. Don't assume the insurance companies are going to be looking out for you. Insurance companies are going to go to great lengths to tilt the playing field in their favor, and you need an experienced attorney on your side who has your back. Travel Legal Offices understands how hard it is to deal with the aftermath of car collisions and wants to be in your corner fighting for what you deserve. Travel Legal Offices is a family-run law firm experienced in Colorado personal injury cases and insurance disputes. Travis Legal Offices has attorneys who are educated locally at DU and CU law schools and has staff with more than 35 years of experience in handling personal injury cases. Call Travis Legal Offices today at 303-766-8766 for a free consultation on your personal injury matter. That's 303-766-8766. You can also reach out 24/7 on the web at travislegaloffices.com. There is respect, response, and results. And Travel Legal Offices keeps that motto in mind on each and every case they work on. Reach out to Travis Legal Offices today, 303-766-8766.
Sounds good, Patrick. I might need it because I want to sue the Rockies.
Look, I mean, the fan base is getting very apathetic right now, where we could be getting down to that point where we're going to see that, you know, people show up first with the bags over their heads and doing the little protests. And sometimes you do have those lawsuits. I mean, shoot, you had what was his name? Mike Bolsinger. He actually took a lawsuit, or he was suing the Astros for the whole sign stealing thing, because he's saying like, hey, look, I had a really bad start against the Astros, and then I got cut, and that kind of ended my career.
Yeah.
Now that got thrown out. Maybe if he had gone to Travis Legal Offices, it would have been different. Nevertheless, that's kind of how it goes. All right. So Ezekiel Tovar is on the list of who could be next if the Rockies need to make another move. Chris Bryant could go on the 60-day IL. That creates room. You got some relievers in the minor leagues that you might knock off the 40-man roster to create some space for somebody else. Riley Pint has been kind of a feel-good story. Would you put – I mean, it's hard. I mean, Tovar deserves it more than Pint. But, Susie, you'd be pretty happy to see another wonderful kind of comeback story like a Wynton Bernard in Riley Pine if he was able to make his major league debut at some point this season.
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be so much fun. I've been waiting to see Riley Pine for years. But yeah, I think that is more likely than Tovar. I don't think Tovar is going to be ready this season.
Yeah, that's like 51% Pine, 49% Tovar. Just because, as you said, because of the situation, You probably have to lean. You might be more likely to see Pint than Tovar. Carl Kauffman is another one of those candidates. Mm-hmm. He started off really well. I think his first three starts down in Albuquerque were pretty fantastic, pretty good. But he struggled since then. He's a guy that will probably have to get added to the 40-man roster by December, or he could be lost in the Rule 5 draft. And then Gavin Hollowell, he's still in Hartford with all your friends back there, back home. Mm-hmm. But he's a high leverage reliever. He's closing games out there for the Yard Goats, had 15 saves with them. He's been their guy. His strikeout to walk ratio is really, really good. So he does everything that Riley Pint does as far as striking guys out, but he's not walking them at the same rate as a Riley Pint. So those are some of the names that, you know, we could possibly see here in the very near future.
Yeah. Do you think, how many new faces do you think we'll see by the end of the season? Because but he said, we're going to see new faces.
He said a few, and we've got Tolia is the only, you know, real new one. And again, you could interpret that in a couple ways and say, well, they brought Bouchard back, so that was, you know, a new face. But we're kind of familiar with that face. Ryan Vallade, mm-hmm. you know, hasn't, you know, appeared yet this year. He's been banged up a lot on the mm-hmm. IL. You know, he debuted last year. We haven't seen him this year, but I kind of got the sense, I think you did too, that it was going to be some fresh blood, like literally faces that have never seen Coors Field and we have never seen at Coors Field. So I think maybe one of those guys, Pints, right now, he's on the IL. He's been there since August 22nd. So that's been hard. Yeah, Tovar's still been on the IL. So again, if those guys were healthy, I think, you know, you could have seen both of those guys debut. I don't know, maybe Gavin Hollowell. He might be a bit of a dark horse, but we could see.
I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at.
Could be something like that. Now, I would love to peep some tweets. I'm just going to say that right there.
I love how you were considering the transition. And you're just like, no, let's cut to the chase.
I'm too overwhelmed. I'm too excited.
Tweets. Yes, I'm so excited. Let's see what we have going on in tweets today. Let's talk about what we brought up earlier. So the absolute irony of giving away this winter hat at the hottest game of the year. We tweeted this out yesterday and it kind of blew up a little bit because Kyle Clark absolutely roasted the Rockies. Why didn't the Rockies wait until a game in October? And then he goes, oh, wait. God.
That would mean, that was a good one by Kyle there. We got to have him on at some point there. He's one of our loyal followers there.
And yes.
He likes a good tweet when it comes out. Yeah, this was actually, I think this game, the game on Monday, was tied for the hottest game in September in franchise history. There's a game in 1998, actually. What would that be? Exactly 24 years ago to today, September 6th. It's also my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. But against San Diego, it was also 94 degrees. So, yeah, record-setting temperatures. Yeah,
it was unfortunately toasty.
The record-setting is on the temperature side, not on the team side.
I mean, you know, maybe record levels of frustration too. But other than that, yeah, those are the only records right now.
That would be it. That would be it. So yeah, thanks for the big shout out by our guy Kyle Clark there.
Yeah, he's so funny. He's got his finger on the pulse. All right, let's talk about concerts. And let's talk about the state of Minute Maid Park where the Houston Astros play because their field is in shambles. Absolute shambles. So this is the view as of yesterday. This is after a Bad Bunny concert. So it looked like a great concert. Unfortunately, not great for the field. But I love this tweet from someone from Hey Scott. Is he called Bad Bunny because he destroys vegetation like the outfield grass at Minute Maid Park? Yeah, it's absolutely wrecked.
Yeah, that and oh yeah, and then there's pictures guys warming up in the outfield. That's really bad. Like, so when they had the concert at Coors Field, you could see, you know, where the stage was just a little bit. I think enough time had passed for when they had the Def Leppard concert and the Lumineers concert, you know, so there were some patches, but you couldn't really tell. It definitely didn't look like this. We heard that some of the grass and vegetation had died because of vomit. I don't think all of this was vomit induced, but it's like really, really bad.
Yeah, that is rough shape. That, I mean, I've seen rough looking minor league fields that looked better than this.
Agreed. This is like a bad high school field. Like that's where it's at. You can't salvage it. Now he did a show at Yankee Stadium last weekend. I don't know what the Yankees schedule was. Actually, they were just back home. So maybe there was enough time for them to get that sorted out. That was the infamous show or famous show of him at the VMAs, MTV VMAs. Remember that was a thing that people cared about, at least of our generation cared about. But he also has two shows coming up in San Diego in the end of this month. So the Padres may end up having to go through this exact same thing again. And how fit? And so they've got the final spot in the wild card. They got the third and final spot. Rockies. Are trailing them. I think their magic number might be about 10 at the time you're hearing this. So Magic number is 10 for them just getting completely eliminated. So they're going to get past September 7th because they've won a couple games. So it's prolonged this, but it would be very interesting with everything that team has gone through, and really everything that they've gone through has all been related to just Fernando Tatis. It's really just been Tatis related. And then maybe their season, you know, a weird ground ball that goes to the outfield gets aired upon because it kicks off of a patchy piece of grass after a Bad Bunny concert. Like, get ready, because that's what could be in the future for the Padres.
Yeah, the Padres just do not have good luck right now. So I could totally see that happening.
The Padres are on the precipice of Padre-ing. We know the Mets can Mets. We know the Rockies can Rockies. The Padres are getting close to Padres-ing. We'll work on
well
that
said.
One. But
that was you, that. Well said, Patrick. You're a true wordsmith. All right. I want to show us one more tweet about a little girl who is a big fan of Julio Rodriguez.
I don't know
her name, but this man named Zach, his child, was making a Julio poster. Julio Rodriguez saw the tweet and said, "Hey, get close to the dugout. I will make sure I sign it for her." So listen, this rookie appreciates his fans of all ages. So then here is the result of that. This is absolutely adorable. So she added to the sign, "We'll trade my baby brother for a hug." So of course, John Boy had the great comment, "Congrats to Julio Rodriguez on acquiring a new brother today."
Oh, wow. That's great.
So yeah, this made the broadcast out there too. This was definitely a big hit with Mariners fans, but you got to love it. You got to be nice to the kids. You got to hook them up. You got to show them love because they're the future.
Did you ever bring a sign? Have you ever brought a sign to a game?
I actually haven't. I thought about bringing one on my road trip, but just never got around to making one. I have a sign sitting. I might not have it anymore, but I think it's in a box of mine. I have a "Bring Back the Whalers" sign that I want to bring to a Hurricanes game.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That could work. You got to be wearing something with the Yard Goats on that, because that'll go viral, and you got to support Hartford there that way. When I was much younger, it also seemed like it was a lot more common. Now you don't see too many signs at ballparks.
I feel like I've seen a really good amount of signs this year at Coors Field. Okay. Yeah. I feel like I still see signs from kids. I think we don't bring them anymore.
There you go. Yeah. We don't see them. Yeah. When you're younger, you see and you go, "Hey, that's a great idea." So I'm definitely going to be doing that. And yet resonates more. Now you just go, "Oh, that's cute, kid. You don't even read the sign. You don't care." So you're right. I stand correct there. But I did bring a sign once for Alex Ochoa, one time Colorado Rocky, had like 58 games. In like 2003? I forget what year, 2001. And he signed it and then just left it in the garage and then, you know, got destroyed, I think. But Alex Ochoa, that's a good deep cut for bringing a sign to a game.
You know what? A kid with a sign just has so much power at a ballpark. That's kind of like their biggest platform that a kid can have. Like if I have something I want to say, I just tweet it. But like, you know, if you're a little kid and you need people to know what you have to say, you got to make a sign. That's your only option. So good on her.
And this isn't a dig on anybody.
Okay.
But in our society, a child bringing a sign to a sporting event, more people will see that than the average tweet. Because we all think about a tweet being like, "Oh man, it got 2,000 likes. That's pretty good." Again, depending on who you are. Mm-hmm. We know there's other ones with tens of thousands, et cetera, et cetera. But the average tweet of just like, "What happened to my toe?" And it's just your toe got mushed up on the coffee table and you take a picture of it. It gets 3 likes from, you know, someone you went to high school with, a coworker, and some creepy person that you've never met but likes.
Three
people, you know, liked it. 40 people saw it. But at a sporting event, tens of thousands. And because you're a kid, you're more likely to get it on television. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if that's earth shattering, if that's interesting, if who cares, but it is true, right? I think there's probably more people that would see a sign at a sporting event than the average tweet.
All right. So next Rockies game that I am at, that'll be Wednesday, because I will be taking today off after this podcast. But Wednesday, I'm going to go around looking. Wednesday might not be the best day because school's already back in session. and it's a day game. This homestand, I'll look for signs. This will be my small project.
Sample size.
I need a project. I need something to keep me out of trouble.
It's a small sample size. We won't hold that against you, but that will go in, you know, for day games, weekday games. So the numbers could be skewed down a little bit, but at least it's a start to the research.
Yes.
We could see if that works. Does anybody ever bring a sign up to rooftop? Because again, there aren't kids up at the rooftop. So,
you know what? I'm trying to think. The last adult that I saw with a sign, Wynton Bernard's friends brought signs for him.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
Kids at heart.
You got to be up in the rooftop. You have a sign with a bullseye on it. Hit it here. I'll give you a brick beer. Like, boom. And then you got to sort it out. And then, of course, you know, CJ Krohn is like hitting you up on Twitter going, dude, where's my beer? You know, you're getting harassed by a Rockies player. It could be fun. It actually could be a lot of fun doing something as wacky as that. It's going to be wacky at Coors Field here. Chad Kuhl is on the bump for the Colorado Rockies, and they got to win one of these next two here.
They absolutely have to for the narrative. The hashtag Indeed. Hunt for 69 narrative.
Brandon Woodruff on the hill. He was an all-star last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be, and he's got 3.54 ERA. Pretty darn good. So Rockies need to get one going here and keep themselves in the hunt for 69. They're hunting for 69, but they're also in the hunt for 69. You can look at it both ways.
Yeah. Depending on how this homestand goes, I might be making my own offshoot narrative, the hunt for 100 losses.
Yeah. The Rockies are getting hunted by 100. Like the number 100 is hunting them down. They're going for the number 69. And then the number 100 is like, yeah, you pay attention to that over there. Well, I creep up behind you.
Your imagination is fantastic, Patrick. But that was a great way to put it.
Look, I can hunt down some crazy metaphors and things of that nature. And look, we're hunting it down on Twitter with Susie Hunter at @DNVR_Rockies. I am at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter.
And I am at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
To producer Kale Sorbo, he's given us some momentum today, and we appreciate that with the Sandfather. Stay tuned for that script. Reach out. We'll have to have a special channel in the members-only Discord. Again, one of the benefits of being a member to the dnvr.com. But look, you know what they truly say about momentum? It's only good as your next show. So we'll talk to you then.